Good morning, everyone. I pray that we have more hope and peace as we're tentatively exploring an opening date together. Please pray as the elders and I continue to monitor and gauge the situation as that June 14th date approaches. Please stay tuned and continue to familiarize yourselves with the procedures and the guidelines, which are continuing to be amended according to the state of Massachusetts, the CDC, and our government. We'll continue to share information with you. Please continue to share any thoughts or concerns with the elders or with me. You can reach me at home, or you can reach me by email, pastortripp@greenwoodschurch.com. Be blessed, be encouraged, friends. So we know that Scripture continues to speak to us today. Amen? God's Word is alive and well and should be living in our hearts. And there's a book in the Bible that I believe is especially relevant to our situation today, the book of James. It was written by the half-brother of Jesus, who did not become a follower of Christ until after his resurrection. It's a pretty short book, near the end of the New Testament. It's only 5 chapters long, 108 verses, but man, is it jam-packed with practical advice, especially for people in crisis. Not only does James offer sound, practical, biblical advice, he helps us process what we're feeling when we're faced with troubles. So let's allow James to encourage us. The subtitle of James could be A Faith That Works When Life Doesn't, because that's what the book of James is really all about. He tells us what to remember, what to feel, how to be, and what to do when we're in crisis and under stress. If you've missed any of these messages, no worry, please. They're all posted online at greenwoodschurch.com. And you'll see that I post the sermon now with the slides edited in. And there's also an MP3 if you want to listen while running or driving. I pray that this Defeating Anxiety series is doing just that, encouraging all of us to overcome fear, discouragement, and anxiety. Please let me know how you're doing. We're not alone. None of you are alone. We're here for you, and God is with each of us. Amen? Now, the crisis that the church faced at the time of the writing of James was not a pandemic. It was worse. They were facing persecution. People were being pulled from their homes. Families were being torn apart. These early Christians were being killed by the Romans for their faith in Jesus. And it was a scary, dark time to be alive. Like today, there was a daily tally of those who passed on, those who were martyred for their faith. And that number was increasing throughout each day. Listen to James 1, verse 1. This letter is from James, a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, to all of God's people who have been scattered everywhere in the world. Greetings. Now, why were they scattered? Persecution. They were running for their lives. Their lives had been turned upside down. In some ways, like our lives have been with this pandemic. Unlike us today, however, they couldn't stay at home. You know, sheltering in place wasn't an option because they were constantly being hunted down. So unlike us, they were weary with constant running and moving. Families were split up so they couldn't be found during all this fear and worry. They didn't just lose their jobs. They lost their homes. Hoarding anything was out of the question. Better to starve and ache with weariness than to lose your life. This was a real crisis. That's probably why James is a shorter letter. It could be dispersed and read while on the move. So James writes this little letter to encourage God's people in crisis. And he explains the kind of faith that we all need, the kind of faith that works when life doesn't. You know, and he begins with some attitudes that we need to cultivate and integrate into our lives so that in tough times we can be rooted and strengthened and not shaken. Let's read on, verses 2 through 4. When all kinds of troubles crowd into your lives, don't resent them as intruders, but welcome them as friends. Realize that they come to test your faith and to produce in you the quality of endurance. So let the process go on until that endurance is fully developed in you. Then you will become a person of mature character and integrity with no weak spots. Now, the key word in these verses is the word realize. James is telling us, brothers and sisters, when you stop for a moment and you realize some things, you're going to get a better handle on these problems, these crises. You're going to handle them better with more peace and strength. In other words, our success in handling the stress and the fear of any crisis, let alone the current COVID-19 crisis, is going to be determined by what we realize. If we all can take just a moment and remind ourselves of some key things, we will realize that we will not be shaken, and we will gain courage and strength to better move through and handle these trials. The clearer your perspective is, the more stable and strong you're going to be when the heat's on. You see, perspective feeds your faith, and faith fuels your confidence. So James, right from the start, doesn't waste any words. And immediately he offers us four truths to remember about troubles. And this is how we begin to realize that ain't nothing gonna break on my stride. Nobody gonna slow me down. Oh no, I got to keep on moving. It's for those of us who grew up in the 80s, that might take us back, maybe not. Anyway, the first thing that James says is troubles are inevitable. You know, notice verse 2. James says, when all kinds of troubles come into your life. He doesn't say if troubles come into your life. He says when, meaning count on them. You will have troubles. You know, James wasn't the first person to say this. Jesus said the same thing. Remember, he said, in this world, you will have trouble. Not you might have trouble. You will have trouble. And Peter said, don't be surprised when troubles happen in your life. When troubles happen in your life. As we begin to remind ourselves of this, we realize that no one is immune to trials and crises. No one is insulated. No one is isolated. No one is exempt from troubles. Troubles are inevitable. You know, I've said this before, we could take this one of two ways. One person would see only the negative. You know, great, I can expect troubles. Wonderful, thanks, Pastor. But as God's people, we need to flip that negative into the positive. You know, true, no one is immune to trouble and catastrophe, but this means that we're not alone, friends, right? When we face crisis, we can turn to God, who knows all about troubles. He went through the heart-wrenching ordeal of sacrificing his son for us. And we can turn to each other. Chances are one of us has been through something similar, right, to what you're going through. And as I help you, I learn insight to help someone else. And you know, now you have a powerful story, a testimony that God uses to reach others. Amen? So because of this, problems are not an elective course in our lives. You know, they're required and better be expected. You can't opt out of the things you learn from trouble. You know, you can't pass-fail a crisis. In order to graduate in this life, we have to go through troubles. They're inevitable. Here's number two. Troubles are not only inevitable, troubles are variable. And what does James mean by all kinds of trouble? Well, no trouble is like another, right? I mean, my financial crisis is always going to be different from your financial crisis. You know, here's an example. I have a 2015 Chevy Silverado, and I love this truck. I just had to spend almost $1,000 on new brakes. So for about a week, that was a crisis for Micheline and me. But we prayed, and God literally took care of us. Praise God. So Micheline and I, our family, we had a $1,000 brake job crisis. You might say, Pastor, I have a brake crisis too. Okay, is it the same? Is the situation the same? Are you using the same mechanic? Are you driving the same car as me? No, you're driving a 2019 Mercedes? Well, that's a different brake crisis, right? Oh, you're driving a 2007 Ford Escort? That's a different brake crisis, right? You see, not all troubles are alike. Troubles come in all shapes, sizes, and flavors. In verse 2, James says, when all kinds of troubles crowd into your life. You know, the Greek word here literally means multicolored. It means many, many shades of textures of an expensive fabric. It's wonderful imagery, yes? You know, there's much variety in the kinds of troubles that you and I face in life. You know, they're multicolored. They're multi-layered. The troubles vary in intensity, how painful they are. Troubles vary in frequency, how often they come. And troubles vary in duration, how long they last. You know, with this COVID-19 pandemic, we still don't know how long it's going to last. But we do know that troubles are inevitable and troubles are variable. Here's the third thing. Troubles are unpredictable. They usually catch us by surprise. Most of the time, a crisis shows up when you least expect it. Verse 2 says, when all kinds of trouble crowd into your lives. What makes a problem is that it often catches us off guard, right? We're unprepared, and it's certainly not convenient. The phrase, crowd into your life, in the Greek means to fall into unexpectedly. It's the exact same phrase used in the parable of the Good Samaritan, where the victim unexpectedly fell into unfortunate circumstances, getting robbed and beaten up. You know, the victim certainly didn't plan on this happening. There's really no way of preparing or anticipating something like this. He just fell into this problem unexpectedly. Well, that's how troubles are going to fall into your life unexpectedly. Here's the fourth thing. Finally, some good news, right? James says troubles are purposeful. There is a purpose behind our problems. James 1:3 says, realize that they come to produce in you. You know, as difficult as this may sound, troubles are productive if we can remind ourselves of these things. Troubles can be productive. James is telling us that God is using the stress and the suffering to accomplish something good in our lives. The stress and suffering can have value in our lives if we have the right perspective. So how do we get the right perspective? That's a great question, and thanks for tuning in today, because I have the answer. Actually, Scripture has the answer for us. Yes? The first step in gaining the right perspective is found in James 1, verse 3. You know, they, that is, troubles, come to test your faith. Troubles test my faith. Faith is like a muscle, and the only way a muscle grows and gains strength is to have it worked and stretched, to have it strengthened. So pressure and weight can strengthen our faith muscles. And our character gets strengthened as well. By having our faith tested, stretched, and worked, our character then gets tested, stretched, and worked. Faith is only strengthened, our character is only deepened when our faith is worked. The word test here is actually the Greek word used for refining metals. You know, refining is used to burn off impurities. The metal is heated to an extreme heat and it melts. And at this extreme heat, all the impurities are burned off. And now you're left with the pure gold or silver or whatever metal you're working with. You know, I think we're all feeling the heat right now in this crisis. I sure am. We're sheltered at home. Some of us might have lost work. Our kids are out of school. Some of us might be stuck at home with health issues, and we can't go out at all. And, you know, we're tentatively working as a church toward opening. But, friends, the reality is if we have another surge in virus spreading, we're going to have to reconsider for everyone's safety. And even when we finally gather, is it really going to feel like church with social distancing and mask wearing? So years ago, there was a guy who said that getting laid off was the best thing that ever happened to him. You know, he had worked in a sawmill most of his life. But one day, during an economic downturn, his boss just happened to walk in and announce that he was fired. He was laid off, 40 years of age. He had a wife, he had a family, and he had no other job opportunities now that they were in a recession. So he said that at first he became really depressed, understandably, got really fearful. "Because I lost my job," he said. "I felt like my world had caved in that day I was fired. I went home and told my wife what happened, and my wife asked, 'So what are you going to do now?' I thought about it," he said. "I finally responded, 'You know what? I'm going to do what I've always wanted to do. I'm going to become a builder. I'm going to start a construction business.'" He went on, "And you know what? My first venture was the construction of two small motels. Those motels were my very first clients. And within just 5 years," he said, "I was a multimillionaire." Wow. The man's name was Wallace Johnson, and the business that he started after getting laid off was the Holiday Inn. Can you imagine? Wallace said recently, "Today, if I could locate that man who fired me, I'd go up to him and sincerely thank him for what he did. At the time I was laid off, I didn't understand why. Only later on could I see that everything was according to God's plan. All along, it was God's perfect and wonderful plan to get me into the hotel business." Wow, you know, we often see clearly in hindsight what we were unable to see in foresight. So the first thing that troubles do, the first purpose of trouble is they test my faith. Will I trust God in this situation? Here's the second thing. Troubles develop my endurance. I like the old English word for endurance, steadfastness. You know, what is steadfastness? Well, it's perseverance. It's staying power. It's our ability to handle pressure, the ability to keep on keeping on, especially when the pressure is on. How do we learn to handle pressure? Have you ever thought about this? How do we learn to handle pressure? Well, as far as I know, there's only one way: by handling pressure. In order to learn how to handle pressure, we've got to go through it. Unfortunately, this is a quality that I believe is in short supply in our culture right now. Most people today give up too soon. You know, they've forgotten, and some haven't even learned steadfastness. They haven't learned to endure and persevere. Endurance and steadfastness are essential qualities of God's people. He wants to test our faith in order to strengthen our faith, and this results in a stronger ability to endure and remain steadfast in difficult times. Here's the third thing troubles do. James tells us that troubles mature my character. They test my faith. They develop endurance. They mature my character. Listen to verse 4. "Let the process go on until you become people of mature character with integrity and with no weak spots." Do you have weak spots? I have weak spots. I sure do. And this is how our faith and character are matured. This is how we strengthen those weak spots. Over time, strengthen through troubles. You know, there was a study a while ago in Russia, and its focus was to learn how different living conditions affect the longevity of lifespan of different animals. The results were just simply fascinating. Scientists discovered that animals placed in comfortable, easy, stress-free living conditions, they actually became weaker. They became more susceptible to sickness, and they actually died sooner than the other animals who were allowed to experience the normal hardships and stresses of life. You know, I'm not usually a gambling man, but I'd wager that the same is true of human beings. In fact, as I've said before, this is what God is most interested in all of us, his people, how we handle, how we endure and mature through life's stresses and troubles prepares us for eternity with him in heaven. So how does God want us to respond to the troubles of this COVID-19 crisis? Well, James chapter 1 gives us some answers. Now, these answers may seem radical, they may seem countercultural, because from the world's perspective, they actually are. But for us, for God's people, these are the proper responses. Number one, trust that God is using it. You know, that's the first thing we remember. When troubles and stresses just crowd in, we need to trust that God has a purpose for them. God is using this crisis for a good purpose, and we can trust him. Amen? God can use anything we give him, even the troubles that other people create that are meant to harm us. I mean, yes, he can even use those for good. Remember Joseph and his coat of many colors. His brothers sold him into slavery, and he was imprisoned by Potiphar for a crime he didn't commit. But Pharaoh ended up promoting Joseph to the number two position in all of Egypt. And when his brothers finally came to Joseph after all this, they were terrified that Joseph was going to finally somehow get back at them. But Joseph assured his brothers in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, "You meant it to harm me, but God meant it for good." You know, isn't it reassuring that even when others seek to harm us, God can still use that for his good in our lives? Praise God. Here's James 1, verse 2 once again. "My friends, when you have many kinds of troubles, you should be full of joy." What? Joy? What? Please don't misunderstand this, friends. James is certainly not saying, you know, ignore reality. Of course not. He's not saying pretend that there's no problem. No, not at all. And he's definitely not telling us to be masochistic, right? Oh boy, I get to suffer. Yes. You know, friends, we don't rejoice for the trouble. We rejoice in the trouble. You see the difference. Why do we rejoice? Well, because what we know is true. We know that God sees and cares about everything. Yes, everything that we're going through. We know and trust that God is continuing to fashion us into the people he knows us to be. You know, we know that we're never alone. God is always with us. We know that God will give us strength if we just continue to trust him. But for me, the greatest comfort of all, when we're going through pain, when we're going through troubles and crises, the greatest comfort of all for me, and I hope it's for you too, is Romans 8, verse 28. We know that in everything, God works all things for the good of those who love him. Love that verse. You know, now you see the word everything. Friends, you know, that includes this COVID-19 pandemic. In everything, God works it all for the good of those who love him. Now, that's not a promise for everyone. Did you notice that? It's a promise for those who love him. Those who want their lives to count and mean something according to his purpose. But what is James really saying here? He's saying that when we're faced with tough times, like this pandemic and isolation, joy is a choice, friends. It's a choice to rejoice. Joy is not based on circumstances. It's based on what we know. It's based on faith. And here's what we know. Here's what we have faith in. We know that in everything, God works all things for the good of those who love him. And it's our choice to rejoice in that knowledge. You know, David said in Psalm 34, verse 1, I will bless the Lord at all times, not just only in the good times. I'm going to thank God. I'm going to praise God. I'm going to rejoice in God at all times. David's making a decision. Do you see that? He's choosing to rejoice. So no matter what I'm going through, I know that God is going to use this painful time for good. And so I rejoice knowing that God will use it in my life. Here's the second thing that James says for us to do in a crisis. He says, relax. Relax and ask for God's wisdom. James says, don't panic. Pray. Don't worry. Worship. You know, worship, pray, relax, and trust God. Ask God for wisdom in your life, and he will be pleased to give it. You know, listen to James 1, verse 7. I love the Phillips translation. If in the process any of you doesn't know how to meet any particular problem, you only have to ask God, who generously gives wisdom to all men without making them feel guilty. And you may be sure that the necessary wisdom will be given to you. Now, that's a promise, friends. God will never hold back his wisdom. God gives wisdom to anyone who asks for it. Amen? So have you asked God to give you wisdom on how to handle this COVID-19 crisis? The isolation, the constant concern for others' well-being, the financial burden and stress that we're all facing. Do you have wisdom to handle any of that? If not, have you asked God for wisdom about what to do about your job, or what to do about your future, and what to do about your kids, what to do about the sick and disabled people in your lives, family and friends? Ask God for his wisdom, friends, because he will willingly give it to us. Generously, friends, we need his wisdom to get through these tough times, don't we? We need his wisdom for several reasons, but especially so we can learn from our troubles. You know, according to Scripture, every trouble, every crisis is an opportunity for education. What can I learn from this? What is God teaching me? How is he maturing and growing me? How is he shaping me in this difficult time? We need his wisdom to trust him and allow him to do his work. So as we're going through this period of isolation and quarantine, Scripture says that we shouldn't be asking why. God, why is this virus spreading? We are to ask what? God, what do you want me to learn in all this? What are you teaching your church during this time? What are you teaching your people about connection with you and with others during this crisis? Don't ask why. Ask what. We all have something to learn during this crisis. You know, here's the truth. The devil wants to use the fear and the panic and the frenzy to try and defeat us during these dark days. But friends, God wants to use what we're going through to develop us. Yes? Amen? So rejoice, friends, knowing that God is going to help us all. And I pray we can relax, and I pray we can ask God for his wisdom. Here's the third thing that James tells us to do. Rely on God and expect his help. Here's verse 8. But when you ask God for wisdom, you must sincerely believe and expect him to answer without doubting him. Sincerely believe, rely on, lean on God, not on what we try to understand. Lean on the knowledge and truth of who he is and what he promises to do for us all at all times. And expect him to help. We often forget to do that. Expect God to answer without doubting. That's the reliance part. So what is sincere belief? It's total reliance and dependence upon God. You rely on the truth that God has promised to help you and strengthen you, and then you expect him to do so. I love what David says in Psalm 116, verses 6 through 7. David says, "When I was helpless, God saved me, and I said to myself, 'Relax, relax, because the Lord takes care of you.'" Are you able to tell yourself, "Relax, the Lord will take care of me"? You know, that's the key to reliance on God, relaxing in trusting him and the expectation that he will help us, that his help is there. Now, early in verse 2, remember we learned that troubles were variable, right? That they come in all sizes, shapes, and kinds. Well, that same variety, that same word is also found in 1 Peter chapter 10, verse 14, when Peter talks about the many varieties of grace. The beautiful thing about grace is also varied and rich and multi-layered and textured. Peter tells us that God offers us many kinds of grace as we meet many kinds of troubles. So for every trouble in your life, there's a different kind of grace. You know, for those people who don't believe and trust God, trouble just makes them bitter, not better. What makes the difference? Faith. Faith makes all the difference, amen? A faith that works when life doesn't. A faith that isn't troubled by troubles, amen? First, I rejoice knowing that God will use my troubles in life. Second, I relax, and ask God for wisdom. Third, I rely on God, believing and expecting that he's actually going to help me. Here's the fourth thing. Remember God's promises and don't give up. Remember God's promises and don't give up. This takes us back to endurance and steadfastness. Very important for a faith that isn't troubled by troubles. Remember God's promises. You know, God's promises are flowing throughout our Bibles. Thousands and thousands of promises for us, his people. Many of God's promises are his help in times of trouble. We will never face trouble on our own. But James reminds us of a particular promise that I think is really encouraging in this COVID-19 crisis. Listen to James 1, verse 12. "Happy are those who remain faithful under trials, because when they succeed in passing such a test, they will receive as their reward the life which God has promised to those who love him." You know, the truth is, suffering is a part of life. We're going to suffer no matter what. Whether we use it or don't use it, whether we benefit from it or not, whether we get the rewards promised to us or not. So the question is, are we going to respond correctly or not? And that choice is ours, friends, because I think it's pretty clear that we're going to suffer in life. We're going to have problems, so we may as well use it for good, right? Don't waste your sorrow. Don't waste your suffering. Don't waste your troubles. Certainly don't waste your pain. Allow God to strengthen you so that he can use you to bring hope to others. You know, the only two questions that really matter are, number one, will you turn to God in times of trouble? And the second question, will you allow God to teach you in the midst of those troubles? Those are the only questions that really matter, friends. But if we do these things, if we turn to God for help and we let him teach us in the midst of troubles, we're going to receive a great reward. That's the promise of James 1, verse 12. Friends, can we stick together through this? Will you stick with me, your pastor, through this? You know, will you read your Bible as often as you can? Will you pray throughout the day? I'm going to stick with this. I will, okay? Let's stick together, please, because we need each other. And we're better together, amen? Don't go through this alone. If any of you need anything, please let me know. Let an elder know. We are here for you, and you are here for us. Would you bow your head with me? Let me just pray a simple prayer, please. Pray with me. Dear God, you know every trouble that we have faced, that we are facing, and that we will face in life. And you know what we're facing even right now. We understand that you have a purpose even in the midst of this COVID-19 pandemic. So God, would you help us to realize today, right now, that you want to test our faith. You desire to develop endurance and steadfastness and mature our character. So precious Jesus, we want to respond with faith. We want to thank you because we know that you can use this time for good in our lives. We want to relax, Father, and ask for your wisdom to guide us in the days ahead. We want to trust you, Father God, and rely upon you. We want to believe in and expect your help through these difficult times. Dear Father in heaven, help us to remember your promises when we feel like giving up. If you've never opened your life to Jesus Christ, maybe the Spirit is prompting you even right now. Just say this after me. Jesus Christ, come into my life. Would you replace my fear with your love? Replace my guilt with your forgiveness. Fill me, please, with your purpose, power, and peace. I want to trust you and believe in your name. Amen. God bless each and every one of you.